All right, friends, every day I hear from product-based business owners who are curious about what other people's business models, what their revenue streams, their team structure, their tech stack, how much revenue they're not only earning, but what profit they're taking home and how much they're paying themselves. They're curious about these things, right? And although we know that every business is different, it is completely natural to want to see behind the scenes and behind the curtains of another brand in your industry. But more than ever, it's more than curiosity now. We know that our product industry has experienced major shifts over the last several years. We've had supply chain issues. We've had rising costs. We've had labor shortages. Everyone has been pivoting and recalibrating, and that has led to a lot of new normals. And so we're experiencing what I would say is like an entire shift in the industry. And I wanted to know what was happening in the industry. I know that all of you wanted to know what was happening in the industry. So my team and I put together an industry-wide survey. We called it a temperature check. And we had 925 product-based business owners that answered the call when we put out the survey. And they anonymously shared their business details with us. And I am happy to report that I have completed the 2024 State of the Product Industry Report. I'm going to give you some of the details here on the podcast, and then I'm going to send you to our website to read the rest. I will also tell you that I found myself constantly diving deep into different areas and then having to pull myself back because there's so many different segments of this report that I would like to dive into further. And so what I'm going to share today are kind of the basic results and some of my observations and analysis. And then I'm also going to, I think in the future, do some additional segment analysis. So things like, I really want to dive into the commonalities between the businesses that are the highest earners and bringing home the most paycheck, like the highest paychecks. I want to dive into the differences between those that reported that they were Paper Camp alumni and those that are not. So I want to get into some of those more nuanced segments in the future. And I haven't decided how and when I will share that information, but I did want you to know that, like, that is something that I think we could dive into further here. Okay, so a little bit of detail before I head into things. Respondents to the survey, there were 925 of them. It included brand new businesses as well as established brands. I'll share those stats in a minute. People shared about their annual revenue, their take-home pay, how much help they have, so contractors and employees. They shared which tech tools they cannot live without and how they are also feeling about the future of their business. The insights shared in this report, I really structured this report so that we could individually and collectively make stronger decisions in our businesses. I also wanted this report to help you and I and everyone understand the industry better and also give you a sense of what your competition is doing. I also think that the report will help you identify opportunities for growth. And that's really the main point here. How can we leverage this information within your individual business to ensure that you are seizing all opportunities available to you? So basically, this report, in my opinion, is going to benefit us all. And I really do hope that you find the report helpful and that you share it with any friends that are in the industry. Because again, I think this is pretty valuable information that typically these types of conversations happen behind closed doors. But to have it all in a compacted survey like this with 925 respondents is a pretty big deal. So I also want to thank everyone that contributed to this survey by submitting their responses. And I hope that all of you find the results as enlightening as I did. So find a comfortable spot, grab your favorite tea, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. All right, friends, I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can, but also I want to remind you that the full report is on our website at proofyourproduct.com/2024survey. So I'm going to hit the high notes here, and then I want you to go read the full report over there for all the nitty-gritty detail. Also, I'm going to share my observations and ideas with you as I kind of run through this. They're also articulated in the report. All right. Okay, so who participated in our 2024 State of the Product survey? 95% of respondents identified as product sellers, people that ideate, manufacture, and sell their own products, whereas 5% identified as product resellers, people who purchase and resell products from other brands. It was interesting. 50% of respondents have been in business for more than 6 years, and 23% have been in business for more than 10 years, meaning that the pool of respondents are a good mix of both new and established business owners. Most respondents live in the United States, but we had feedback from product sellers in Canada, Australia, Europe, Asia, and South America. This one surprised me. 61.5%, so 61.5% of respondents are running their businesses alone without any support from employees or contractors. Also, people are working a lot. On average, respondents are working 31 to 60 hours per week. There are some segments of people that are working under 10 hours per week. There's also a good number of people who are working 80 plus hours per week. And given how many people are running their businesses solo, I'm not that surprised by this. However, friends, please take care of yourself. This is my little PSA. Working 60 to 80 hour weeks is not sustainable, and you will burn yourself out. You'll lose your momentum. So please take care of yourself there. Also, I should note here that as the years of business experience grew and the annual revenue rose, the number of hours worked per week tended to stabilize. It got back to like 30 to 40 hours per week. So the same segment of folks also reported having more employees and contractors, which is another reason for the reduction of hours. So all of this tracks. As you gain experience, as you have more cash flow, you're able to hire people, they're going to take work off of your plate, you're going to work less hours. So that all makes sense. Okay, so that was our participants. Just again, keep these demographics and thoughts in mind as you're looking through the rest of the report. Let's look at revenue streams. 79% of respondents sell wholesale in some capacity, whether that's online, at trade shows, through sales reps, or on third-party platforms. 98% of respondents sell direct to consumer. So all of our retail categories, brick and mortar retail, online retail, in-person markets for retail, all of those things were captured together, and it accounted for 98% of the respondents selling in some form to direct to consumer retail. Wholesale online, retail online, and retail in-person markets were the three most profitable revenue streams. And 87% of respondents are utilizing six or more revenue streams. I'm actually very curious about this one and want to dive into the details a little bit more. I'm curious about the correlation between number of revenue streams and the gross revenue and also take-home pay. But really, I'm looking to see who's most profitable and who's bringing in the most amount of money. I sometimes think that there's a misnomer. I have a theory that sometimes when we do too many revenue streams, we spread ourselves too thin and we're not doing a great job, and therefore our revenue takes a hit. But I'm curious if the data backs me up on that. I don't know for certain. This is just a theory. I haven't looked at the data yet, but that is something I want to investigate a little bit more. Okay, looking at gross revenue, annual revenue, 48% of participants, so almost half, are seeing gross revenue of less than $50,000 per year. So their business is making less than $50,000 in revenue per year. 36% are bringing in over six figures in annual revenue, and 3% are bringing in over $1 million in annual revenue. A significant portion of businesses that are making over $200,000 in annual revenue have been in business for more than 6 years. I thought that was an interesting correlation. There was also a direct correlation between higher gross revenue and higher take-home pay, which makes sense. You know, as we make more money, we are going to put more of that money back into our pockets. However, it was also interesting because as the annual revenue increased, we did see a wider variance in the amount of money that people were paying themselves. So for example, businesses that reportedly make over $1 million in annual revenue, their take-home pay spanned everything from less than $25,000 all the way up to over $500,000. But the biggest group within that segment was the $100,000 to $200,000 mark. So I thought that was really fascinating. And also, I would caution any of you that as you start to make more money in your business, I really want you to get some strong financial support in your business. So a CPA to help with not only preparing and filing your taxes, but also helping with tax projections and figuring out how you can save money on taxes. And then also a financial planner to help set you up with things like retirement accounts. So as you start to grow in the business, it's helpful to have those types of experts on standby to help you with that. Also, and I put this in the report, which I think I mentioned, but it's at prooftoproduct.com/2024survey. I was curious, so I did a deeper dive into the take-home pay for everyone that's reporting over $100,000 in revenue. So anyone making over six figures, I wanted to see what they were taking home. And it was interesting because 63% of this group are paying themselves between $25,000 and $100,000 a year. Now, again, there's a lot more I want to dig into with these revenue and take-home segments. For example, how these numbers correspond to revenue streams, like I mentioned, team size, product line size. But I'm going to have to save those for another day because it's a lot that I want to dive into there. But go check out the report for some more details too. All right, let's look at technology. 66% of participants use Shopify as their main website and e-commerce sales platform. 14% use Squarespace. 3% do not have a website, which surprised me a little given that online retail and online wholesale were ranked as the most profitable revenue streams for this survey. But I did dig into it a little bit more, and these folks tend to be selling on third-party platforms, so places like Faire, Etsy, Amazon, and a variety of social media shopping platforms. So that was really interesting to me. I do believe that it's important for all of you guys to have your own digital home and your own place for people to shop with you directly. But it seems that 3% of you are doing just fine selling on third-party platforms. So that was interesting to see. Okay, looking at third-party platforms separately from that 3%, but just in general, 69% are selling on Faire. So that's a pretty big chunk. 50% are selling on Etsy, and then 31% are selling on Instagram and Facebook Shop. We also have people selling about 6 and 7% selling on Amazon and TikTok Shop separately. And then there was a group of 13% that do not sell on any third-party platforms. I want to dig into this one a little bit more too, because I think there's opportunities here, and I certainly don't want you spreading yourself thin and doing too many things or jumping on a new platform just to jump on a new platform. I do think that's an area where a lot of creative businesses overextend themselves by doing too much and being on too many platforms. But this is an area where I would really like all of you to dig into, okay, where am I selling and which avenues are bringing in the highest caliber of clients and the most revenue? Because I want you to consolidate your efforts on the platforms or even your own website, if that's where it is, that are yielding the highest reward. So I don't know, take a look at that. I have a lot of ideas on that, but I'm still processing them. Okay, looking at email marketing, looking at ESPs, particular email service providers, 24% of you are using Klaviyo, 20% are using MailChimp, 16% are using Flowdesk, 9% are using Shopify email. And then we had smaller segments under 2% for ConvertKit, Constant Contact, and Zoho One. Here's the shocking one. 15% of respondents reported not doing any email marketing, not sending out any email marketing at all, which shocked me, particularly because, again, going back to the main revenue streams of being online wholesale, online retail, those sales channels, those revenue streams are very much driven by digital marketing, which is usually led by email marketing. So that surprised me a little bit. But if you are one of those folks, we have lots of resources, and I would encourage you to check out some of our free resources about email marketing. The online report does include data about inventory management systems and project management software that folks are using. But for the sake of time, I'm going to let you go read that in the report. Jumping down to marketing, the top three most utilized marketing methods are Instagram, email, and Facebook, in that order. But it was interesting because when I asked for broadly, like, what are people using? And so those were the most popular platforms that I just named: Instagram, email, and Facebook, in that order. But when I asked about their number one source for new customers, it shifted slightly. It became Instagram, email, and referrals were the top reported methods. And this is a good reminder, too, to track your customer data and understand where people are finding you, because then we can use that data to decide where we allocate our marketing dollars and our time and energy. So based on survey responses, this is a major opportunity area for many of you. I want you to make sure that your number one source for new customers is where you're spending most of your marketing time and dollars, that you know for certain that's where people are coming from. So an example, Facebook was not highly rated as the number one source for new leads, but a lot of you seem to be putting time, effort, and energy into Facebook because it was one of the top methods that people talked about. And no shade to Facebook, but if that's not where your customers are hanging out, we don't want to spend our time there. Instead, we want to find out where our people are hanging out and spend more time there. So just this is an opportunity for you to make sure that where your customers are hanging out and where you're seeing the most revenue is in alignment with where you're putting your time, effort, and money. Okay, next up is growth patterns. And I got to be honest here, I felt a little uncomfortable including these next few questions on the survey because I worried what the answers would be. We know that the online space is a highlight reel. We're showcasing the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And my intention with this section of questioning was to capture real, honest feedback and shed light on the mindset of business owners right now. And I know things have felt really hard just from conversations I've had in my community, but opening up these types of questions to hundreds of people, it just made me a little bit nervous. But regardless, here we are. So when asked about business growth trajectory and growth patterns, respondents were positive. The 81% of people are holding steady or experiencing growth, whereas 19% reported that they're in a decline. When I asked if they think they'll be in business 5 years from now, 72% said yes, and only 2% said no. There was a pretty big chunk, 26% in the middle there that said, maybe, I'm not sure, which is fair, right? Like market shifts, our lives change, who knows what's gonna happen in 5 years. But I thought that was really interesting. So again, 81% of participants are holding steady or experiencing growth, and 72% expect to be in business in 5 years, both of which are super encouraging stats. Okay, let's look at the current business struggles. This is part of that whole mindset area. Participants noted, well, it's not. This is technical and logistical, and then we'll talk about CEO struggles. But looking at current business struggles, participants noted the following as their biggest pain points. So acquiring new customers, cash flow, project management / keeping up with all the things, and marketing. Those in that order, those were the top four. When I asked about their biggest struggle as a CEO, so thinking more about their personal life, work-life balance took the top spot with 34%. And then burnout mental health was at 22%. Decision fatigue was at 20%. And confidence imposter syndrome took the fourth spot. Although it wasn't included as an option, several folks mentioned caretaking being a personal struggle right now. People mentioned that they are the primary caregivers for children, parents, partners, and even pets, and that is factoring into their work-life balance struggle. So I did want to mention that here because I think that's something that is worth noting. It came up quite frequently. Okay, we just covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. I threw a lot of numbers at you. I have been looking at this data for days, and I feel like there is still so much more that I want to cross-reference and dig into. I'm sure listening to this episode probably felt a little bit like you were drinking from a fire hose, so please do go read the full report at prooftoproduct.com/2024survey. I included details, some additional analysis with the full report, plus you can take your time and you can review the charts and graphs that I've included to really understand what we're talking about here. But if you found this episode helpful and if you found the 2024 State of the Product Industry survey helpful, would you do me a favor and share it with your friends? I would greatly appreciate it if you could share a screenshot of either this podcast episode on Instagram and you can tag me at Proof to Product, or you can share one of our survey graphics, which are in my Instagram feed, and tag that in your story. But I think having this type of open dialogue and, you know, data to lean on is beneficial to all of us. And I really want to thank everyone that contributed and participated in the survey. Your contributions are not only appreciated, but they're very much going to help structure and support people in critical business decisions that they're going to be making for their business. So I love how our community has come together to benefit the whole here. And thank you for your contributions. Also, I just want to note that when we share these kind of details and are able to dissect the data for different patterns, we really do open a lot of opportunities of growth for everyone. Also, as a human working in your business and many of you working alone, I hope that the findings in this report make you feel less alone. I mean, 63% of you are working alone, and being able to see how 900 other businesses run their businesses day to day and how their operations work, how they pay themselves, how they're building their teams, that has to be tremendously helpful. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. The full report is, again, at proof2product.com/2024survey. We will include that link in the show notes too. But again, thank you for listening today. I'll be back with a new episode soon. And thank you again for your contributions and patience with the survey.